trouble. I met Jesus is the name of it. About the man of Gadara. But you know, we were all in trouble. Maybe not in the same type that he was, but the bottom line is he was never the same after he met Jesus. Let's all stand and sing, I Met Jesus.
Was the man of Gadara who lived among the tombs, full of demons, saint his soul had. Soul from hell, he has cleansed me. Now all is well, demons vanish, and the rest is for the day. I met Jesus, I'll never be the same.
Listen to what it says here on the second verse.
Lost in sin and so hopeless, the end was now in sight. Satan thought he had another soul. Jesus so gently whispered, it was
can give a similar testimony the day we met Jesus. Heard about him all my life as a little boy. I've been in church all my life, but then at 12 years old, he came to me. Precious Holy Spirit whispered my ear, opened up my mind of understanding, conviction, and I got gloriously saved. So good to see everyone in the house of the Lord tonight. We welcome you, and we welcome those that's watching by Facebook or sermon audio. We welcome those maybe listening by telephone, and let's just enjoy the service, what God has prepared. One of the most exciting times of my whole life is sitting in church, getting ready for the preached word. That's just the most exciting time of my life. I love to travel. I used to like to go fishing, but I'd have to take a refresher course on that. But I just love to be in church with anticipation of what God has to show me tonight. Boy, that's exciting. So I hope you're enjoying the beautiful weather God has given us. We're going to enjoy the fragrance from another country tonight. Brother Gunn Davis is going to come pray with us and for us. A lot of revivals across the country, and we're praying for those. Our son Darren's preaching revival in South Carolina this week. And let's pray for this revival here. And the Lord's no respecter of persons. Wherever his name is upheld, if I be lifted up, I'll draw home in the it may be here, it may be in Georgia, wherever it is. So our job is to lift up the name of Jesus. Let's do that tonight.
Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you tonight for the opportunity one more time to be in the house of God, to come, Father, to thank our Savior, Father, for the shed blood, for forgiveness of sin. Father, we uplift the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we ask you tonight that you'd have your way amongst your people. Father, that you would help us. Father, you'd sit down among us. You'd have preeminence. Lord, you know what we need before we even ask. And Father, I pray, God, that you'd meet those needs according to your riches by your Son, Christ Jesus. Father, we ask you tonight, Father, that you'd, maybe that one that's here tonight that doesn't know the free pardon of sin that's lost, God, that you'd save the soul for your honor and glory. Father, that you would speak to maybe the cold saint, Father, that's gone astray. Lord, that you'd help them and stir their hearts, stir their minds, Lord. I pray, God, that you'd edify the church. Father, you'd magnify the reading, the preaching, the proclaiming of your word, Father, for your honor and glory. I pray for the man of God tonight as he preaches, Father. Give him the message. Give him the words we need to hear. Fill him with the Holy Ghost. Father, let him say everything he needs to say. And Father, I pray he'd say nothing, Father, that wouldn't be uplifting to you. I bless your name, God, for all you're going to do among us this week. And Lord, I pray, Father, for those that are sick, those that are home, Father, those that are battling illnesses in the hospitals. Father, Sister Kyla Rowland comes to mind. I pray for her, God, that you'd touch her body and raise her off the bed of affliction, Lord. No doubt there's many in our church families that are hurting. God, help them. Touch them. Lord, we know you're the great physician and you can do it, Father. We bless your name. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Jason and Natalie and Misty, if y'all will come. I tell you what, while they're coming, let's just all stand and sing just a little chorus while they're getting ready. Everybody stand. Sing it with me. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Thank you so much, baby.
You know, I don't often say much when we sing, because I don't ever want to take away from the Spirit, and I certainly don't want to take away from revival and the man of God. But I feel like I would be remiss tonight if I didn't say what's been on my heart all day. Brother Randy led us in that song, Wonderful Peace, last night, and that's been one of my favorite hymns through the years, but I don't think I really understood why until I was 21 years old and my grandmother passed away. And a lot of you knew my grandmother, Bill Creesman, and she was permanently brain damaged in a car accident 9 years before I was ever born. So the only grandmother I ever knew was a complete invalid. We fed her, we clothed her, we diapered her, we bathed her. And it wasn't until she died that I found out that her favorite hymn was Wonderful Peace. And we were singing that last night, and I thought about the words to the song, I'm resting tonight in this wonderful peace, resting sweetly in Jesus' control, for I'm kept from all danger by night and by day, and his glory is flooding my soul. The first time I ever played and sang that song was at my grandmother's funeral. And all I ever knew from her was that invalid. But what was instilled in me and what I knew of her before that time was what a prayer warrior she was. And that she and her best friend had a prayer rock just over the crest of the hill that they would meet at twice a day, every day, and that they would pray for their husbands and their sons and their daughters and their families. That was what was instilled in me, and I didn't know that for so many years until I learned more about her the older I got. And I'll never forget, right after Carly was born, I was discharged from the hospital, and she was still there for another 47 days. And I told my daddy that morning when I got up to come to the hospital, I said, "Daddy, please get me as close to that prayer rock as you can." He says he can remember playing on it as a child. It was big enough that he could play on it while his mom and Miss Eloise Glenn prayed together. And I'm thankful for my heritage. I sat today holding my great nephew, 2 weeks old, and thought about what a heritage he has, what a godly heritage we've been instilled with. And I'm so thankful for the privilege to come to the house of God for good old-fashioned preaching, good old red hymnal singing. And I'm just thankful for the peace that we have. The world around us is raging. What a time we live in. But I am so thankful for the peace that we have that has nothing to do with the songs that we're singing tonight, but it has everything to do with Jesus. And I'm thankful for Jesus and his role in my life.
I've not always been faithful, but he has. I've not always been graceful, but he has. I've not always been true, oh, but he's always come through.
Thank you. could tell that or not, but I messed that up pretty good. That was not the first song that we had planned, but you know, I don't really give a rip what happens as long as we follow the Holy Ghost. And you know what? It felt good to sing that He has been faithful and He has been graceful. I know I'm none of that stuff, but I know He's every bit of that stuff, and I'm thankful for it. And I'm not going to apologize for the fact that, you know, back in the day when California had a little bit of sense, there was a weatherman that there was a city full of smog, and they said that only a wind from elsewhere can remedy this issue. Well, I'm telling y'all tonight that only a wind from elsewhere can take care of us tonight. And it's the wind of the Holy Ghost. And I'm not going to apologize for following Him. We're going to sing something totally different than that right now. We're going to try to sing "Jesus Spoke to Me." And I know that's totally a different speed. It's a different everything. But Lord, help us tonight. That's all I can say.
Jesus spoke to me one day, praise His holy name. Said He died my debts to pay, bore my sin and shame. Through His servant here below, thus He spoke to me. I believe and now I know I have been set free. Jesus spoke to me. Jesus spoke to me when I was lost. Sin's dark sea. He said He gave His life to set me free.
Oh yes, Christ.
Jesus spoke to me.
Jesus spoke to me.
Jesus spoke to me. I then was blind.
I was blind.
But now I see.
Now I see.
I'm glad I heard my Savior speak to me. I shall not forget the day when I heard His voice. Said my sins were washed away, made my soul rejoice. In His finished dust spoke He, I have paid it all. Sweet relief it was to me when I heard His call.
Yes, Christ
Jesus spoke to me.
Just spoke to me.
Jesus spoke to me when I was lost.
I was lost.
Sin's dark sea. He said He gave His life to set me free.
Oh yes, Christ
Jesus spoke to me.
Jesus spoke to me.
Jesus spoke to me. I then was blind.
I was blind.
But now I see.
Now I see.
I'm glad I heard my Savior speak so gently. Jesus calls to you today through God's Word divine. Hear what Jesus has to say to your soul and mind. Cease your struggle and your strife, look to Him and live. He alone can give new life, gladly He will give.
Oh yes, Christ
Jesus spoke to me.
Jesus spoke to me.
Jesus spoke to me when I was lost.
I was lost.
In sin's dark sea.
Sin's dark sea.
He said He gave His life to set me free.
Oh yes, Christ
Jesus spoke to me.
Jesus spoke to me.
Jesus spoke to me. I then was blind.
I was blind.
But now I see.
Now I see.
I'm glad I heard my Savior speak so gently.
Blind boy. more than enough to wash the sin out of me. If he can raise up the dead and give them new life, Jesus is more than enough.
He said to the Lord, my daughter is dying at home. Then another man said, she's dead, leave the master alone.
More than enough to guide you and me. He's more than enough to turn the water to wine. More than enough to feed a family like mine. More than enough to heal all diseases. More than enough to wash the sin out of me. If he can raise up the dead and give them new life, Jesus is more than enough, more than
and see the blessings that God gives. I'm overwhelmed by His goodness and His mercy that flows so deep. He's a friend like no other friend. He'll bear my burdens till the end. Well, I'm unworthy of His love, and by His grace I am redeemed.
Oh, that's my God. Oh, He is my everything.
That's my God,
my shelter in time of need.
And He's my fortress in time of need. He's my rock on whom I lean on, and He's my strength when I am weak. He understands what I'm going through, and He is all I need. Well, He's my God, He's the Savior of my soul.
Oh, that's my God. Oh, He is my heaven.
Thank you for those beautiful songs. Lifting up the name of Jesus, telling the Lord what we think of him, making melody in our hearts. That's what it's all about. And now time for the preaching hour. We're so fortunate and blessed again this year to have Brother Leonard Fletcher, pastor of Dyson Grove Baptist Church in beautiful Butler, Tennessee. And I'm sure this time of year with the leaves doing like they are, it's even more beautiful, my brother. We're fortunate to have you here, and make yourself at home in the Father's house.
Bless you, preacher. Thank you. Well, it's a joy to be here this evening in this place. I appreciate the opportunity in these days. We're living in some unusual days. A lot of things have happened since I was here last year, and I'm glad to see that y'all have weathered it and come through it. I'm wondering how many of you still got your joy, but anyway, we'll hope that that joy meter will go up this week a little bit. Amen. It's been a hard time to find much to be happy about, hadn't it? But I'm glad that God's able to help us. Through all of this, we've had difficulties up where we're at. A lot of churches in disruption. Attendance is down in every place I go. Sometimes you get to thinking, well, it's just us that's it's like that. No, everybody's facing it. Everybody's dealing with it. But I'm glad that God's still on the throne. He's still able to help us, and I believe he wants to help us these days. Throughout all of this, we have had to go into avenues that many times preachers were not comfortable in doing. Some had never done anything online in their life, yet through all this pandemic, they've had to venture into those areas, and they've found a new ministry that they didn't realize. Back in the day, it used to be preachers had radio broadcasts. Now they've got Facebook preaching. And you know what? The good thing about that, it don't cost you nothing to preach on Facebook. Praise God. And anyway, that's a great blessing. I've done drive-in revivals. When this thing first broke, a couple of churches over in the Southwest Virginia area asked me, would you consider doing a drive-in revival? And this was right at the 1st of March. And I got over there on the first night, and it was down, the temperature was about 36 degrees, 37 degrees. I was out on the porch of the church, and the wind was blowing across the porch, and everybody sitting in their cars listening to me. They had a sound system and all that stuff, and by the time that was over with, I was so cold I couldn't hardly move. I said, well, I've been in a few churches that's that cold too, praise God, but anyway, so I survived it pretty well. I remember one time this old fella got up at a church, and he was wanting to give everybody a free gift. He said, I've got a special gift. It's up in the mountains now. I know this actually happened. He said, I've got a free gift for everybody here. He said, I've got a bunch of wind chill charts that and you can stick it in your Bible. And he said, it'll tell you if it's a certain temperature and the wind's blowing 15 miles an hour, what the wind chill is. And I said, isn't that wonderful that he would hand those out in a Baptist church? It might keep some folks from freezing to death while they're there. Amen. Because I've been in a few places where the wind chill was not real high. It was really low. But anyway, I preached in a drive-in revival for Brother Darren. We got one night in and the weather turned bad. And we had to go inside and do online. And I told him, I said, but you think about God being so good that in these last days, he made it so that we could have the type of meeting that every Baptist who had ever wanted to toot their own horn could. Amen. That's what they're doing in those drive-in services. Instead of amen, and they're tooting their horn. But anyway, it's a joy to be here. I appreciate your pastor. I love him and thank God for him. And I hope we can be a help. I preached last week in a little country church up near King, North Carolina. On Monday night, there were 15 people there. So this is a little bit bigger crowd than I'm used to preaching to. And we had a good time. And I hate to break the news to you. I don't preach any better to 200 than I do 15. I preach the same wherever I'm at. One preacher said, if I could preach better, I would. But I can't. So I'll just have to do the best I can. I had a preacher friend one time, he said, Brother Charles Worley, he said, my preaching's like a roll of bologna. He said, you can cut it off anywhere and it's good. Praise God. Amen. But anyway, Acts chapter 27, Acts 27. And I want to give you a simple thought tonight, and I'm not going to be long before you. Acts chapter number 27. And I want to start reading in verse 13. In the context of the scripture that I'm reading, you'll find the Apostle Paul is a prisoner, and he's being sent to stand before Caesar. And he is a prisoner on board a ship. In this chapter, you'll find one of the most detailed descriptions of a shipwreck that you'll find in all of the Bible. Matter of fact, it goes through every scenario that they faced, all that they tried to do during the time they were out on the stormy seas. And you'll find in verse number 13, after they have launched out, after Paul had warned them not to, here they have launched out, and the Bible says in verse number 13, and when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence they sailed close by Crete. But not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Claudia, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand, strake sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship, and the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. For the sake of time, skip to verse 43. The Bible says this, but the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose, and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land. And the rest, some on boards, and some on broken pieces of the ship. So it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. Lord, I pray that you'd help me now tonight. Lord, I cannot preach without the aid of the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray that you'd give us what we need. Lord, give us receptive hearts to your word tonight. And Lord, meet the need of the hour for this time, for this people, God. Lord, we're in difficult days. We are in dark days. But God, we know you're the God that's in the midst of the storm with us. And Father, I pray, would you help us tonight by your mercy and grace. And Father, we're going to thank you for all you do. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. When you read this story, you find that they are sailing out at the behest of Paul. Paul has warned them that they shouldn't sail, and yet they went ahead and sailed anyway. There's a lot of people could save themselves a lot of harm and hurt in their life if they just listened to God's men. And Paul has warned them, and all of a sudden the south wind blew softly, so they decided to sail. And not long after that, the Bible said, there arose a tempest and a storm called Euroclydon. This was the equivalent of a typhoon or a hurricane out on the sea. And here they are caught in this storm of epic proportions. Matter of fact, you read all of the things that they went through, all the things that they did. When I think about this, as I look here in the scriptures, I was reading verse number 17, and this stuck out to me. And the Bible says this in verse 17, which when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship. And I begin to think about that. Here they are. They're in the midst of a storm. They're doing everything they know to try to survive in the storm. They're lightening the ship. They're doing those things. The Bible said that it's such a tempest and a darkness that the sun or stars have not been seen for many days. And so they're in the midst of a dark time. But here they are, and the Bible said they use helps undergirding the ship. Now, if you know anything about in the days of the wooden sailing vessels like that, this process was called frapping. It was when they would take a cable or a cord and they would tie it off on the deck, and then they would pull it underneath the ship and pull it up on the other side and tie it off on the other side. Sometimes they would wrap the bands around the hull of the ship. In other words, what they were doing was, in the storm, they didn't want the force of the waves to cause the timbers of the ship to come apart. So what they're doing is they're in the middle of the storm. They're at the mercy of the waves, and all of a sudden they begin to try to put the bands around this ship. And what they're really trying to do is simply hold it all together. Have you ever felt like you're doing that in your life? There's been times this year that I've felt like that it was all I could do, just trying to hold everything together. Pastors all over this land have been in disruption, and churches have been in disruption, and we're doing everything we can trying to hold things together. But I'm glad that in the midst of all the storms of life, no matter how dark it may be, we can do everything we want to do. But the fact of the matter is, there's one who's watching over every one of us, and there's one that's going to carry us through the storms of life. I begin to think about that thought. I'm preaching on this thought tonight, on some things to be reminded of when you're simply trying to hold it all together. Here in the Word of God, the Bible said they were under such a burden. It was a burdensome storm that they were in. In verse number 20, he said, "No small tempest lay on us." Now, it's one thing when you're facing a storm, but when the storm's laying on you, it's a whole nother ball game. Boy, we've been in a time this year. Have you felt like it's almost ready to suffocate you? I know people right now who have family members who've been dealing with anxiety. They've been to some of the folks in these bigger cities that have not been able to get out and go and do like we have. And there's people that's really had issues during this time, and it seemed like the storm is laying on them. Well, I got news for you. It may get worse before it gets better, but I'm glad that it will get better. Hallelujah to his name. You say, "Preacher, what is it about this storm?" It was a storm that exhausted them and depleted them. They finally reached a point where all hope that they would be saved was gone. Now, I'm going to tell you something right now. You have reached a low point when you've reached a point that all hope is gone that you'll be saved. But I'm glad when I get to the point that my hope tank is empty. I'm glad there's a God that'll show up every time, and he'll help me through the struggles of life. You say, "Preacher, what should I be reminded of when it seems like I'm simply trying to hold it all together?" I'll give you three things and I'm done tonight. Number one, just remember this. When you're trying to hold it all together, just be reminded that cheer can still be found in the darkness. Now, sometimes in the middle of a storm, it's hard to find anything to be happy about. Sometimes when you're going through something that feels like it's such a weight on you that you can't even survive. It's hard to find any cheer. Here is Paul. He's on board a ship. He is a prisoner. He's been drug into the storm by those who decided to sail when he told them not to. And here he is, and man, they've done everything they can. They've lightened the ship. They've let go of the tackling. They have done everything within their minds in their sailing ability to make sure they survive. But finally, they have reached a point now that all hope is gone, that they're going to be saved. And here's what Paul did. After long abstinence, he said, he stepped up, and this is the most classic case of "I told you so" that you'll ever read in the Word of God. Paul stepped up and said, "Sirs," he said, "you should have hearkened unto me and not sailed from Crete." I mean, he's telling them, he said, "If you'd listened to me, we wouldn't be in this mess." But here's what Paul said. But he said, "But be of good cheer." He said, "Because this night the angel of God has stood by me, whose I am and whom I serve." Now I'm talking about people, they've lost the hope they're going to make it. They don't think they'll ever see their families again. They're going to be lost at sea. They won't even know where their bodies are. And all of a sudden Paul stands up and says, "Cheer up, boys." Oh, let me tell you something right now. Sometimes it's hard to find cheer. But if you'll notice this, Paul said, "Be of good cheer. There's not going to be any loss of life on the ship." Paul said, that's the good news. The bad news is the boat ain't going to make it. Amen. Amen. But then Paul comes and once again, two is the number of witness. And he steps up and says, "Be of good cheer, for I believe God." He said that it'll be as he said it would be. I'm going to tell you something right now, how you can pull yourself out of the mully grubs in the middle of a pandemic. Grab that book, open it up and said, "I believe God that it'll be as he said it would be." Amen. I promise you this, it'll help you get your chin off the ground. It'll help you get a spring in your step. It'll cause you to want to praise him a little bit more, even in a bad, difficult day. Amen. I believe God. Amen. And because I believe him, I'm glad I can be of good cheer. Hallelujah. You see, Paul is here now, and I like this. In this storm, Paul got drug into it. He didn't have a choice. He's a prisoner. And they decided to sail. Paul got drug into something that he didn't. He knew that it was going to be bad, but Paul didn't have a choice. But this is what I like about this. Halfway through this story, the narrative changes. When they left port, Paul was with them. But as Paul is there and the angel of God is standing there and telling him that there ain't going to be nobody die on board the ship, he said, "I've given thee all them that sail with thee." They started out and Paul was with them. But in the middle of the storm, the narrative changed, and now they're with Paul. Amen. There's mamas and daddies all over this country. There's been a young'un drugged them into a storm with a life that they didn't approve of, and they've had sleepless nights and broken hearts, and man, the storm seems like it's going to take them under, but just hang on, Mom. Hang on, Dad. Hang on, Grandpa, Grandma. There's going to come a point in the middle of that storm. They may have drugged you into it, but there's going to come a point that God will use you to drag them out of it. Amen. I'm here to tell you, praise God. Oh, when it seemed like there's nothing to be happy about, I'm glad we can be of good cheer. Hallelujah. I'll never forget years ago, been at the church now 27, going on 28 years, and I had a young family in my church at that time. They're now, since the husband surrendered the call to preach under our ministries, he's pastoring now and his family's grown, but back in those early days when they were there at the church, they had a little family, started a little family. They had a little girl. She was born. Her name was Sarah. And Sarah, when she was born, we recognized there was something wrong. We didn't know what it was. And as she got just a little older, they took her to the doctor and was checking her, and they found out that Sarah had cystic fibrosis. And I don't know if you're familiar with that disease or not, but she's had difficulties her whole life. She's now a young woman, and the life expectancy's not real high for people with cystic fibrosis. So she's had a difficult journey in this life. And I'll never forget Miss April, her mother, telling me when in the first days, of course, you've got children and your child has been diagnosed with a disease and you don't know what's going on. And she said, when we were at the hospital, preacher, she said, and Miss April, her mother, she's one of these little shouting ladies. I mean, she was a young lady back then, but still yet, when God would show up, she'd just get in the glory and she'd shout it out. And she's still like that still this day. Her daddy at one time pastored the church I pastor. He's in heaven now. And I thought about Miss April, but she told me this story. She said, preacher, we were at the hospital and they were running some tests. And she said, my heart's broken because my child's got this disease. And said they needed to take Sarah that day. Sarah was about 3 years old, maybe 3 and a half. And said they needed to take her and they had to go do something with her lungs. They had to go down into her lungs and said, they would not let me go back. And said that day, said they came to get Sarah out of the room and she's just a little kid scared. And she said they had to take her and that I couldn't go with her. And said as they took her out, she's hollering, mommy, don't let them take me. Mommy, mommy, don't let them take me. She said, my heart was breaking in a million pieces. She said, I can't stand it. I got to go. And she said, well, after they took her down the hall, said, I said, I got to get out of here. I got to get somewhere where I can just collect myself. And she said, I went downstairs in the hospital. And she said, there, I was walking along, said, I was weeping, just my heart's broken. And she said, I looked and there was a little chapel there where you could go in and pray. And she said, I thought, I'll just go in there. And she said, I went in there. There wasn't nobody in there. Just a little place. And she said, my heart was broken a million pieces. I said, God, I don't understand why this has happened to my family, my daughter. I don't understand why we're here, Lord. We love you. We're trying to serve you. I don't understand any of this. And she said that day, she said, I felt like I needed to pray. And she said that day, it was right before Easter. She said that day they had a little podium there and said in front of that little podium they had an Easter lily sitting on there that hadn't bloomed out yet. So it's just sitting on that table. And she said, preacher, I'm going to be honest with you. You're going to think I'm crazy. She said, but I'm going to tell you what happened. She said, I was there and said, my heart was broken a million pieces. She said, I got down on my knees in front of that little table where that Easter lily was at. And she said, I began to pray. And I said, God, I need you to help me. I can't make it through this without you. And she said, I prayed and prayed and prayed and wept. And she said, I was there on my knees. And she said, I looked up and I was wiping the tears out of my eyes. And said, that Easter lily caught my eye. And she said, preacher, I don't know why it done this. But she said that as I was sitting there looking at that Easter lily, all of a sudden it popped open. It's like it bloomed right in front of me. Said it hadn't bloomed out. Said it just popped open. And she said, preacher, I couldn't help it. She said, I got in there and got to shouting. And she said, I got to thinking there's probably people out in the hall think there's some crazy person in this room. But she said, preacher, God let me know right then, no matter how bad the storm gets, that he's the lily in my valley. He'll be there. He knows where I'm at. He said, get up off of your knees. I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to help you. Amen. I'm glad, praise God, no matter how bad the storm is, when you feel like you're trying to just hold the pieces of your life together, I'm glad you can be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. You can find cheer in the midst of the darkness. Number two, you can find direction in the midst of uncertainty. When they got on board this boat, they knew where they was headed. Every time I've ever boarded a ship, they gave me an itinerary. And it would tell me, we're going to dock here on this day. We're going to leave on this day. We're leaving at this time. Every stop on the journey has an itinerary. If you read this whole chapter, you find that it chronicles places they sailed close to, places they stopped. So they had an idea where they were going. Now, all of a sudden, in the midst of a storm called Euroclydon, they finally had to just throw up their hands and let her drive. They said, we knew where we was heading, but now we ain't got a clue where this thing's going to end up. Have you felt like that this year? You had your year planned. I thought, man, how many plans have been squashed this year? How many? I told him, I said, I'm like the guy that I get up of a morning, look out the window to see what chapter of Revelation we're in today. Amen. It's just been that bad every time you look around. But can I say to you, and sometimes you say, how's this going to end up? Where's this going? We've even thought that ourselves, all here on board a ship. Now, all of a sudden, the itinerary has been thrown out the window. Now they're sailing in uncertainty. They're at the mercy of the winds and the waves. And now they have no idea where they're headed. But can I say to you, this is what Paul said. He stood up and he said, sirs, I believe God that it'll be as God said it would. He said, howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. Amen. You think about that. When you are out there and you're at the mercy of the storm and you're floating in uncertainty, and then all of a sudden God lets you know that he's got a certain place he's taken you to. Just because you don't know where it's going to end up don't mean God's worried about it. Amen. God's not up in heaven tonight taking Malocs wondering how all this is going to turn out in 2020. I got news for you. He's got a certain place he's taking us. He's got a certain work he's doing in us. Hallelujah. We may not be able to see it all right now, but I'm here to tell you, God, just because our itinerary got messed up for this year, don't mean God's ain't running right on schedule. Amen. God is in the midst of our lives, in the good times and in the bad. I like that old song Peg McCamey used to sing. He's the God on the mountain and he's the God of the valley. Amen. Man, no matter which one we're in tonight, I'm glad we can have certainty in our lives. Through all this mess when it first hit, numbers were down at church, not as many folks coming, and I started to get a little discouraged like most preachers was. But then all of a sudden, preacher, I can't explain this. I don't know how to explain it. Because when you looked out and you said, well, we're running less than what we was. We can't do half of the stuff we've been doing. We're disrupted on every hand. There's not much to be encouraged about. But for some reason, I felt something in my spirit that I felt more encouraged than I'd ever felt in my life. I got up and told him at the church. I said, some of y'all hanging your head down. Some of y'all wondering how we're going to get through this. But I said, I want to tell you something right now. I can't tell you why I feel this way, but I've never been more encouraged in my spirit in my life. And it wasn't because the stuff I was looking at, but it's the stuff God was looking at. It's the stuff God was putting in my spirit. I got news for you right now. Some of y'all have been discouraged by what you see and what you hear, but just know this, there's a God up in heaven. You may feel like you're off course. You may feel like your boat's adrift tonight, but I got news for you. He's got a certain place. If you read that next chapter, it was a beautiful island called Melita, which is modern day Malta. And there was there's some treasures on that island. I'm glad God's able to take you to a place. Oh, that wasn't on their itinerary, but praise God, God will take you to some places. Let me tell you something right now. He can take bad things in your life and land you on a beautiful island. Amen. Hallelujah to his name. Oh, he's a God that'll help you. Just remember this, you can still have cheer in the darkness. Number two, you can find direction in the midst of uncertainty. Number three, you can find help in unlikely places. Here they are on this journey. If you read the whole chapter, I didn't take time to do that tonight. There came a point they hadn't eaten anything in 14 days. Paul stands up on board the ship and he says, here, take some meat. Paul prayed over it and blessed it. The Bible said they took it. And then I want you to notice what the Bible said, then they were all of good cheer. Here they are in the midst of a storm. They don't know where they're going. They don't know how it's all going to turn out. But all they know is this. Paul said, here, take something to eat. And they were all of good cheer. Y'all pull up to the table this week. You may leave with your spirit lightened just a little bit. God will help us. This is what I like about this story. The Bible said they began to sail close to some land. They didn't know what it was, where it was, but they knew they were near land. And they devised a plan. They said, we're going to do this. Said, we're going to try to, the Bible said they ran the ship aground. In other words, it stuck fast, and they know they're close to land somewhere. And the Bible said that they began to devise this plan. Said, this is how we're going to make it, fellas. He said, all of you that can swim, you jump out and you make for shore. And I thought about that, the way God wrote that there. If I'd have been writing the Bible, I believe I'd have wrote it different. You say, well, now, preacher, you wouldn't have wrote the Bible different. Well, you see, I can't swim. How many can swim in here? How many of y'all can swim? All right. Then there's quite a bit. I believe there's a few more can swim than can't. But I can't swim. I never did learn to swim. I worked on a farm most of my life growing up as a boy. We didn't get around water much unless it's to water the animals. But anyway, so I never did learn to swim. But I can imagine this, these old boys, there's 276 people on board this ship. Paul's already told them ain't nobody going to die. Matter of fact, this is what I like about this. If you read that whole chapter, he already told them, said nobody's going to lose their life. And then he comes on over there and he says, there's not going to be a hair on anyone's head that's going to fall to the ground. Let me tell you something right now. They're in a typhoon. They're in a hurricane. And he said, ain't nobody going to lose a hair. You lose a hair in the shower. And here they are in a storm of epic proportion. And not only are they going to be all right, ain't going to lose no hair. Hallelujah. We ought to shout on that right there. Amen. I'm talking about God is able to help us. But then he says this. He says, all you that can swim, you jump out. And I imagine them old boys on board the ship that couldn't swim, they're watching them fellas. See, if I'd have been writing this, I'd have wrote like this. I'd said, all right, everybody can't swim, jump in. If you get to struggling, you don't look like you're going to make it. Some of these that can swim can jump in and help you get to shore. That'd be the logical. That'd be man's way of thinking. But God said, no, everybody can swim, go for shore. Now, I'm going to tell you something right now, and I'm happy for them boys swimming toward shore. But if you're standing on the boat and you're looking at them, watching them swim toward shore, and you're thinking, and what about me? How am I getting there? And the Bible said that as they're watching them swim toward shore, that the violence of the waves broke the ship apart. And I can imagine there's some of them old boys thrown into the water that can't swim. And, man, they're going under, and they're coming up for air and feel like they're going under for the last time. And then all of a sudden, when he comes up and gasps for breath, he looks, and there's a board floating by. And he grabs hold of it with everything that he's got. Here's a couple old boys over here and they're struggling, about to drown. All of a sudden, a broken piece of the ship comes floating by. And here they are, two or three of them, hanging on to a broken piece of the ship. This is what I like about this. In the earlier part of that story, there were some of those soldiers and sailors was trying to get off the ship with the lifeboat. They were operating under color. In other words, they're acting like they're doing one thing, but they're really doing something else. A lot of Baptists operate under color. But anyway, they were trying to escape, and Paul saw what they were doing. He said, hey, I got news for you. Except you abide in the ship, you'll perish. In other words, and the Bible said they cut the lifeboat off and let it go. I got news for you. If you'll stay with the ship in the middle of the storm, there'll come a part and time in your life when part of the ship will stay with you. Amen. Just when they need it, and a little piece of the ship come floating by. Amen. I'm glad that. Can you imagine that old boy grabbing hold of that board, hanging on for dear life? That's kind of like when God sends you a verse out of nowhere. When you're in the middle of your storm, you're in the middle of the darkness, all of a sudden a verse comes into your spirit that's been birthed in your heart in days gone by just when you need it. God sends a song on the radio, encourages your heart. It may be a friend that gives you a word of encouragement, but I'm here to tell you, praise God, you can find help in unlikely places. Years ago, when my family was just young, I was just a young preacher, and was doing a lot of meetings, preaching week after week, and running myself to death, pastoring the little church, and it was growing. And I had been in a string of about 6 weeks of revival straight, every night for 6 weeks. And of course, pastoring the church too. And I was really just wrung out physically, just wrung out. And I was, I went to the church on that Sunday morning and preached. And that morning as we was at church, my son Ryan, he's in his 30s now. He was about 8 years old. And you know how kids are. He came up to me that day after church. He said, "Dad, one of the little boys wants me to go home with him, and we'll come back to church tonight." So I don't care if I go home with him today. And for some reason, there was something we had planned. I said, "Well, today's not a good day. You can't do that. Not today." He said, "Dad, come on, let me go. Let me go." I said, "No, I'm sorry, son. You can't go." Well, you know how happy an 8-year-old boy is when you tell him no, when he's really got his heart set on doing something. Well, that day, he wasn't irreverent to me in any way, but he just didn't want to talk to me. Didn't want to even look at me. Matter of fact, I went home that day, and all evening, that little 8-year-old boy of mine, he wouldn't look at me. He wouldn't talk to me. Oh, he loved his mama, but he didn't care too much about his daddy. And it was getting on up the evening. I was getting ready to go to church. And I was feeling low anyway. I didn't have nothing to preach. I was looking in the Bible, trying to get a thought for that night, and it seemed like the pages were blank. I said, "You know what?" I was frustrated, wrung out, wore out. I said, "I'm going to go sit in the car and wait on my wife and daughter to get ready." And they were still getting ready. So I went out and sat down. At that time, I had a minivan, a Ford Windstar minivan. And I sat down in that car and shut the door. And I'm sitting there trying to pray, talk to God. I said, "God, I got to have something to preach tonight. I don't feel like I've got anything left. I feel like I'm empty." And I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden, when I'd shut the car door, my son, 8-year-old, had heard the car door slam, and he thought we were leaving for church. He come bounding out of the front door of the house, and he started to get in the van, and he looked, and the only person in the van was the person he wasn't talking to. And he started reaching, and all of a sudden, he saw me, and he wasn't about to get in that van with me. He had nothing to say to me. And he stuck his hands in his pocket that day, and he walked out toward the woods behind, and I was watching him in the mirror on the side. I saw him, what he was doing. He stuck his hands in his pocket, looking up in the sky. He's just walking out through there like, and I thought, "Well, you ain't talking to the Lord. You won't even talk to me." And he's out there walking around, and I'm watching him in that mirror, and I'll be honest with you, it seemed like the devil crawled in the seat beside of me. Said, "Hey, preacher, look at that. You're running all over the country trying to help families and trying to be a blessing to people's families. And don't you look at that. Your own boy don't want to talk to you." I was already wrung out and wore out. I was watching him. It looked like in my mind's eye that my son was a million miles away. And I'm sitting there and I begin to pray. I said, "God, you have to help me." I said, "I ain't got nothing to give these people tonight. I said, God, I'm wrung out." And I said, "My own boy don't want to talk to me, Lord. You're going to have to help me." And all of a sudden, if God had a spoke audibly, and he don't speak to me audibly, but if he had a spoke audibly, it wouldn't have been any more powerful. All of a sudden, when I said, "God, you have to help me," that son of mine seemed so far away. All of a sudden, as I was looking at him in that mirror, the Spirit of God said, "Won't you look at the bottom of that mirror?" And when I looked at it, there were some words on that mirror. And it said, "Objects in the mirror are closer than they appear." Amen. I said, "Hallelujah." I said, "He seemed like a million miles away. And here I am looking at him, and the mirror says, objects in the mirror." That'd make a Baptist take a running fit. I'll be honest with you, all of a sudden, it was like the devil was gone and the glory of God filled that little old van. I was sitting there, I'm a weeping, I'm a praising God, and all of a sudden that little old boy of mine run up and he opened the door and he said, "Daddy, I'm sorry I've acted like I have today." I said, "I'm sorry too, son. Get in here. We're going to church. Amen. I'm here to tell you, praise God, there's a God that'll help you. Amen. He'll send you help from unlikely places." I have had so many examples of that down through the years of ministry. I remember one Saturday I was dealing with all kinds of problems. People had problems everywhere I looked. And I was having to drive to Johnson City, Tennessee, to the hospital to see someone that was in the hospital. And I was driving by myself that day. I was in my truck, and I was going around Watauga Lake, and there's a big old bridge over there called the Butler Bridge, a real high bridge. There's people that's jumped off of that thing, and just a real high bridge over the lake there. And I was driving down there that day, and there's so many problems going through my head. It was like there wasn't nothing. I didn't have the radio on or nothing, but it was like it was noisy in the truck. It's quiet noisy. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about or not. But I was, man, it was just all these things going on in my head. I thought, I've got to break the silence in this truck. And I was in the middle of the Butler Bridge. It's a long bridge. I was right in the middle of it. All these problems weighing me down. And I keep my radio on a gospel station there in Bristol, Tennessee, called WZAP Radio. And that day in the middle of the Butler Bridge, I just reached up and touched the button on my to break the silence in the truck and all them voices in my head. And the first words I heard out of that radio that day in the middle of the Butler Bridge was this: just hold on a little longer. Help is on the way. I got so happy I almost stopped and jumped off the Butler Bridge. Praise God. I'm going to tell you something right now. God can send a board floating by when you need it. Amen. Oh, you may be here tonight and you've just been trying to hold it all together this year. Well, I'm here to tell you, you can still have cheer in the midst of the darkness. You can leave here tonight and know it. Even though you don't know how it's going to turn out, God does. And God's got a certain place He's wanting to take us to. And hallelujah to His name. He may have floated you aboard by tonight. Just grab hold of it and trust Him tonight. Father, we thank You for what You've done. Thank You for how You've helped us. Lord, I thank You for this people. Lord, they're precious people that I've grown to love in the days that I've traveled down here. And Lord, I pray that You'd just help them tonight. Lord, may somebody tonight have gotten something that'll help them through the midst of this darkness. And God, I pray that You'd help us all tonight, Lord, as we give an invitation. Lord, I pray, Lord, if somebody has a burden, that they'd find a place here. Lord, many, many areas here tonight to be able to pray. And Father, I pray, would You help us, Lord? There's been days, Lord, I felt like I was just doing all I could to hold it all together. But God, I'm glad You have a certain place. I'm glad, God, You've got a place You're taking us to. And God, by Your grace and mercy, Lord, we know it'll be all right. Father, we thank You for what You've done. In Jesus' name, let's stand tonight. If I could get somebody to play the piano tonight for us, and just have just a moment. If you feel the need of prayer tonight, maybe God has spoken to your heart. You need to be encouraged tonight. Maybe you just need to come and say, Preacher, there's been a few times this year I've wondered, Preacher, how we're going to make it through, and how we're going to do this, and how we're going to do that. I'll tell you how you're going to do it. Come up here and grab your board tonight. Come up here and find that broken piece and trust God and let God help you tonight. And I want to ask you tonight, if she's coming to play, just a moment, just come on. Some have already come. You don't have to wait till the music starts. You come on tonight. If God's speaking to your heart and you just need God to help you, it might be, you may be here tonight and you say, Preacher, if somebody's drugged me into a storm. I've been in a storm. Well, I'll tell you what, you just hang on. They may be with you before it's all said and done, and you may drag them out of it. I wonder how many more tonight say, Preacher, I just want to come. You've got a burden on your heart. You've got a need. If you're here tonight, you've never been saved. Oh, tonight it'd be a good night for you to give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder, would there be somebody else tonight say, Preacher, I just want to come. I need God to help me. Maybe there's somebody you say, Preacher, I haven't come, but I do have a need. And would you pray for me? Would there be one lift your hand anywhere in the building and say, Preacher, I need God to help me. I see that. You obey God tonight. I see that. God bless you. Just be sensitive to His Spirit tonight. If He's speaking to you, you move tonight. Let Him help you. I'm glad you can still find some cheer in the midst of the darkness. Oh, I'm glad when things are uncertain, we serve a certain God. I'm glad for that tonight. And I'm glad you can find help in unlikely places. I wonder, anybody else tonight, you feel the need of coming? As we're waiting just a moment, I'm going to pray and I'm going to let the pastor come. And You do what God would have you to do. Father, we thank you for what you've done for us tonight. Lord, I pray now that you'd just have your will and way in every heart and life that's here. Father, meet every need that we have, I pray, according to your mercy and grace. Lord, we'll thank you, preacher. You come tonight. You take charge as you.
Aren't we so thankful, the Lord, mindful of where we are? Just about the time you're about to sink, so you think. A verse of scripture, a song, a message that we heard tonight came our way. God knows your needs. He knows your hearts. He's looking for submissive hearts, willing hearts, hearts that's hungry, hearts that's thirsty for his word and his touch. And when he finds that person, there's a feeling. Because his feeling will satisfy. It'll get you that certain place. Oh, I enjoy that. Enjoy every one of his messages, but this one, something special about it, wasn't it? Even more special. We appreciate that, brother. Thank God for you. God for you. As you leave tonight, the ushers are back there. We don't pass the plates. And we hold the plates. All the offering will go to our evangelist. You can make a check out to Fletcher First Baptist Church or FFB. And we'll accumulate that. I'll go to him this week. Thank you so much. Everyone, content with what God's done in your life tonight. You have a word. You have something you need to do. Remember, God loves obedience. He says it's better than sacrifices. A willing heart and obedient heart. One to follow him. And we got so much to be thankful for. Pray much. Tell others. And all those people out there watching, I know there's many of you. People follow him on the internet, they know where he's going, and it's a blessing. He's a man of that godly reputation that we're fortunate to have this week. Thank God for him. Brother Justin, you come up here, please, and pray with us and for us as we lift up our hearts. Remember the family. We have a wonderful opportunity to pray for families that's lost their loved ones. And Miss Karen, Clark lost her mother. Well, you don't lose them. They go on to another country, a different residence. But nonetheless, she passed, waiting for the funeral arrangements to be made. Let's pray for that family. Any other prayer requests? Yes. Come up here, Ray, and tell us about that. You know more right now than I do. Brother Hill had to go to the hospital with severe stomach problems, maybe a surgery, and he told me this morning about that, but I don't know the latest. So, Lyndon Hill, remember the Hill family that sings, he's your dad. Tell us about that, brother.
Well, the bus man, Lyndon Hill, he was taken sick yesterday afternoon and taken to Park Ridge. They don't know what's going on, and he is in a lot of pain. They're doing a lot of tests and so forth, and I really would appreciate y'all praying for him. He really needs your prayer. He's a wonderful Christian. The family's been here to sing before, and they're really stressed, and I appreciate it.
God bless. Godly family.
Lord, thank you for giving us one more chance to gather in the house of God tonight. Lord, we thank you so much for the preached word of God we heard tonight, and thank you for the anointing that there was on the reading and the preaching of your word. And Lord, we thank you for the man of God you've sent our way this week. Lord, we pray you would give him rest tonight. Lord, rest this week. And Lord, you would, Lord, continue to give him what we need to hear this week, Lord, as he is here. And Lord, just bless him in his studies. And Lord, I pray you would help each and every person, Lord, who is here and who will be here tonight. Father, I pray that each and every one of us, God, would get what you would have for us this week, dear Lord, whatever it may be. Father, I pray that you would give us, Lord, a soft and a receptive heart to the word of God and to the Holy Ghost, Father. Lord, I pray that you would put a hedge about this place this week, Lord. Lord, this place and only, Lord, wherever we go amongst our daily lives, Lord, to work or the grocery store, Lord, let us dwell on what we hear the previous night in the house of God. Lord, we just want to tell you how much we appreciate, Lord, the opportunity to be here, God, because, Lord, it could be taken away so quickly. It was already seen earlier this year. Lord, we love you so much and appreciate everything that you do for us, Lord, and we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.